Now, if you don't know who's speaking this morning, I'm just going to announce kind of in a riddle kind of way. Mickey Mouse, Donald Duck, Goofy, C.S. Lewis.
Who's that?
Okay, linebacker. Okay. Another side of him. Okay. Yeah, but I don't want to cut in. I don't want to cut in too much to Mike's time, but this is going to tip you off if I can do this. There's two voices here, and they might not come out the same.
A Jedi will he be? Or a good word will he bring?
Mike, you're such a delight. Everything you do, I'm cutting it off. You told me.
Are we on? First team all league, second team all county. It's not all mice and Jedi. We need to hang out more, Bill. Thank you. Well, I grew up Roman Catholic, and in Roman Catholicism, you know, the mass, the service, it's kind of goes according, it's kind of the same every week. You know what you're doing at this time, and then this is this part. Okay, one of the nice things, one of the things I love about our church is you never know what the morning is going to be like. You know, you don't know. So when you prepare, when I prepare 40 minutes or 14. I have essentials and then I have non-essentials. So you know. I was joking that Audible has that fast voice that you can speed up to and talk real quick and go through it. So you're going to get my Audible fast sermon today. Want to talk about mercy? Better this. It's great to be here tonight. All right. All right, let's pray. And I'll pray at normal speed. Now I got it in my head. All right, Lord God, we thank you for this morning. God, thank you that you are alive. Thank you, Lord, that, Lord, I love that we come here and your spirit moves and we are free to move with your spirit and pray longer if we need to pray longer and worship longer and just be in tune with your spirit. So we pray that that would continue now, God, as we hear from your word, and we just pray that you would anoint this time and you would just bless it in Jesus' name. Amen. So I listened to Kevin's sermon. I couldn't be here last week, so I listened to Kevin's sermon about mercy. We're continuing our talk on mercy, and he kind of threw out a challenge to me at the end. So I'm going to do the reading from J.R.R. Tolkien to start with, about Frodo Baggins. You forgot him, Bill. And if you don't know that story, you really should learn that story. Read the books. See, the movies are really good as well. But anyway, Gollum is the evil creature that has the ring, and Bilbo got the ring from Gollum, which was a good thing because the ring needs to be destroyed. It was evil. So Frodo now has the ring, and now it's on his shoulders to go and destroy this evil ring. And he's upset. And he goes on, he's talking to Gandalf, and Frodo says, "It's a pity Bilbo didn't kill Gollum when he had the chance." And then Gandalf replies, "Pity. It's pity that stayed Bilbo's hand. Many that live deserve death. Some that die deserve life. Can you give it to them, Frodo? Do not be too eager to deal out death and judgment. Even the very wise cannot see all ends. My heart tells me that Gollum has some part to play in it, for good or evil, before this is over. The pity of Bilbo may rule the fate of many." Gandalf kind of rebuked Frodo there for his lack of pity, for his lack of mercy on this creature. And then when Frodo meets him down the road in the story, he extends that, he gets it, and he extends that mercy towards him. But that's what I want to talk about today. I feel like this series has been amazing. We've heard from so many different speakers and different takes on mercy. So I feel like the Lord spoke to me on our response to God's mercy and how we should respond to the mercy that has been given to each one of us in this room. So I wanted to read from Matthew 18, verse 21 through 35, and it's the unforgiving servant. Right? Okay, yeah. Then Peter came and said to him, "Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Up to seven times?" Jesus said to him, "I do not say to you up to seven times, but up to 70 times, seven. For this reason, the kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who wished to settle accounts with his slaves. When he had begun to settle them, one who owed him 10,000 talents was brought to him. But since he did not have the means to repay, his Lord commanded him to be sold, along with his wife and children and all that he had, and repayment to be made. So the slave fell to the ground and prostrated himself before him, saying, 'Have patience with me, and I will repay you everything.' And the Lord of that slave felt compassion and released him and forgave him the debt. But that slave went out and found one of his fellow slaves who owed him 100 denarii, and he seized him and began to choke him, saying, 'Pay back what you owe.' So his fellow slave fell to the ground and began to plead with him, saying, 'Have patience with me, and I will repay you.' But he was unwilling and went and threw him in prison until he should pay back what was owed. So when his fellow slaves saw what had happened, they were deeply grieved and came and reported to their lord all that had happened. Then summoning him, his lord said to him, 'You wicked slave, I forgave you all that debt because you pleaded with me. Should you not also have had mercy on your fellow slave in the same way that I have mercy on you?' And his lord, moved with anger, handed him over to the torturers until he should repay all that was owed him. My heavenly Father will also do the same to you if each of you does not forgive his brother from your heart." So we see his response to the mercy that was given him. He didn't get it. He missed the memo of what he had been given. And there was an expectation of the mercy that was shown you need to we should show to somebody else. We're in a unique group here. I imagine in heaven all the creatures standing before the Lord, all the beings and praising him and worshiping him. Angels worshiping. There are angels in this room right now going on in the heavenlies that we don't see. And they know things that we don't know. You know, I can't wait to start talking to angels. You know, and common misconceptions, when we die, we don't become angels. That's a Hollywood thing. Okay, our spirits go to heaven. Angels are separate beings, completely separate, that God created. And there's one element of God that angels can't fully grasp, and that is his mercy. That's for us. That's us. We understand God's mercy because we've needed it. He's extended it to us. Angels will sing about it, and they're singing about so much, but that to empathize with mercy, they don't get that because it's humans, it's us that have been forgiven. We have been extended that mercy, and we have that need. I wanted to just go back and just go through this parable that Jesus told in verse 24 and 25. We see the need for mercy. That is step one, that each of us, before we can show mercy, we need to see that we need that the mercy that we needed ourselves, because we forget. We are forgetful people. You know, I find, you know, a lot of sermons, we're just reminders, right? Just reminders of who we are and what God has done. Just reminding things that we've heard before. We need mercy. This servant needed mercy. Verse 24, when he had begun to settle them, one who owed him 10,000 talents was brought to him. That is a very big debt. He cannot pay that. But since he did not have the means to repay, his Lord commanded him to be sold along with his wife and children and all that he had, and repayment to be made. he was the master was completely just in his punishment towards him, sending him to jail. You owe me this money, and until it's repaid, I'm sending you and your entire family to jail. That was justice. That was complete justice. In Romans 3:10, so that's his need, and I'm going to compare it to our need for mercy. Romans 3:10 through 20, as it is written, there is none righteous, not even one. There is none who understands. There is none who seeks for God. All have turned aside together. They have become useless. There is none who does good. There's not even one. Their throat is an open grave. With their tongues they keep deceiving. The poison of asps is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their paths, and the path of peace they have not known. There's no fear of God before their eyes. So we're probably thinking, man, who is this group? Who are they talking about? Who are these, this crew? Now we know that whatever the law says, it speaks to those who are under the law, so that every mouth may be closed and all the world may become accountable to God. Because by the works of the law, no flesh will be justified in his sight. For through the law comes the knowledge of sin. That's us that he's talking to. That is us in our unsaved, sinful condition. None seek after God. We seek after ourselves. We're selfish people. It is God's mercy that pulls us and helps and gets us to seek after him. The law, and the more we read the law, it reveals our need. We're reading Watchman Nee, The Normal Christian Life, in our guys group. And he gives an analogy of a butler, a clumsy butler, right? And as long as he's standing there against the wall, he's fine. He's not causing any problems. He looks great. He's just standing there, this clumsy butler who's very bad at his job. But then when he starts doing stuff, he starts breaking things and tripping over things, and it's a mess. Okay, we see how bad he is. So same with us with the law. When we start to try to follow the law, we realize how much we fall short, how we fail at it. It's only when we see the law, and that's why reading the Bible is so important. Wow, it's a mirror. I don't measure up to that. And then when you add the Sermon on the Mount, in Matthew 5, 21, Jesus says, "You have heard that the ancients were told, 'You shall not commit murder, and whoever commits murder shall be liable to the court.' But I say to you that everyone who is angry with his brother shall be guilty before the court. And whoever says to his brother, 'You good for nothing,' shall be guilty before the Supreme Court. And whoever says, 'You fool,' shall be guilty enough to go into the fiery hell." So if you're angry, I've been very angry. "You good for nothing," I think I've said those words. And "you fool," absolutely. You don't want to. I'm glad that quite often no one's in the car with me sometimes. There's another side. And every once in a while I forget Lucy's in the back or something. And what did you just say? But when I read this, when we read the Sermon on the Mount, I walk away, I'm in trouble. I don't measure up to this. Jesus did not lower the bar. He raised the bar with the Sermon on the Mount. He raised it, talking to our hearts, not just our actions. So there is a need for mercy. I have a need. We have a need for mercy, as this servant did who owed 10,000 talents. We are in need of mercy. And the punishment levied on us is just. God is good. He is holy. He is perfect. We are not. There needs to be a sentence carried out, and that is Christ. That is what Christ did on the cross. No one has ever walked away from the judgment seat of Christ shaking their fist saying, "That's not fair." When we stand before God, when an unbeliever stands before God and his life is laid out, no one, not one unbeliever, has ever walked away after judgment or will not walk away after judgment saying, "That's not fair." When we're faced with it and when we see how good he is and how imperfect we are, it's fair. The judgment, the punishment, for it's fair. God is fair. It's not, "Oh, the punishment doesn't fit the crime." It does. And everyone, every human being in eternity has always said that. They've never said, that's not fair. So what did this guy say upon the judgment? So back in Matthew, verse 26. So the slave fell to the ground and prostrated himself before him, saying, have patience with me, and I will repay you everything. He didn't say, that's not fair. He didn't disagree with the judgment. He just begged for mercy. He begged for mercy. And the Lord of that slave felt compassion and released him and forgave him the debt. I think it's important to note that he didn't talk him into it. The servant did not talk the master into the forgiveness. It wasn't because he saw potential in this servant. Oh, this guy can do a lot of good things for me, so I'm going to forgive him. He forgave him because compassion, he felt compassion and released him. It was the compassion and love in his heart that had him forgive the servant. It's very easy to mix forgiveness and mercy as the same thing. Oh, they're synonyms. God's mercy, God's forgiveness. And they're not synonyms. God's forgiveness is the outpouring of his mercy. It's the mercy that he has, that he is, and it results in his forgiveness. So he demonstrates his mercy by forgiving us. So that's the action, that's the carrying out of the mercy that's in him, cause, effect. So it was the compassion in the master's heart. That's all it was. I forgive you. I forgive you your debt. Ephesians 2:1-10. This is a lot like the Romans chapter 3 that we just read. And you were dead in your trespasses and sins. That's us. He's talking to us. In which you formerly walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, of the spirit that is now working in the sons of disobedience. Among them, we too all formerly lived in the lust of our flesh, indulging the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, even as the rest. Hold on right there. That's our judgment. That's our who we are. We are deserving. We are guilty. There is a need. Let's not move on so quickly. We need to stop there, and that's us. It's a mirror. That's us. But here's the good news. He doesn't stop there. These are my favorite two words in the Bible, but God. My favorite two words in the Bible. Whatever situation you're in, but God. Whatever we're facing, but God. And here it's about his mercy. But whatever difficult place we're in, God. Oh, it looks so bleak. It looks so bad, but God. So, but God, being rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our transgressions, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. And raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the ages to come he might show the surpassing riches of his grace and kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand so that we would walk in them. It is God's mercy. God is rich in mercy. We are forgiven because that's who he is, his mercy. He is merciful. But God, being rich in mercy. Now, we don't talk him into forgiveness. He didn't see, you know, Kevin says, he didn't get a great deal with us. You know, he didn't see something great in me, so yeah, we're going to forgive him. No, it's him. It's his mercy. It's because he's acting according to his nature. That's what he is. That's who he is. He is mercy. He doesn't have mercy. He is mercy. He is love. He's acting, and even it isn't at the time of the crucifixion his mercy showed up. His mercy is there the whole time. Before the foundation of the world, he was merciful. That is who he is. And that's just when we see it and when we need it. That he is all, that is who he is. Not essential, not essential, not essential. 10:57. How come I always get when we have all these announcements? It's just Mike. Just kidding, that's not true. So if we have received his mercy, it should affect us. If we understand his mercy, it should show in our actions. And it's okay if we forget. It's okay. Don't feel like all the time we should just be this merciful person. We are forgetful people. That is why his mercies are new every morning. We forget, but he is faithful and just to forgive us. Lord, forgive me for my lack of mercy. Forgive me for forgetting the sin that I have. And thank you for what you have done for me. And if we truly walk in his mercy, it should show in our actions. Let's see how this guy, the servant, responded. Verse 28. But that slave went out, found one of his fellow slaves who owed him 100 denarii, and he forgave him his debt too. And they had a huge party of walking in forgiveness and mercy. I've been forgiven you. Let's celebrate. No, he didn't do that. He didn't forgive him his debt too. But that slave went out and found one of his fellow slaves who owed him 100 denarii, and he seized him and began to choke him, saying, pay back what you owe. So his fellow slave fell to the ground and began to plead with him, saying, have patience with me, and I will repay you. But he was unwilling and went and threw him in prison until he should pay back what was owed. How quickly he forgets what has been extended to him. Compared with the woman who broke the perfume over Jesus in Luke 7. Let's see. I entered your house. You gave me no water for my feet, but she has wet my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You gave me no kiss, but she, since the time I came in, has not ceased to kiss my feet. You did not anoint my head with oil, but she anointed my feet with perfume. She gets it. That is a response of forgiveness. This woman who took this perfume that was worth a year's salary. It was very expensive. And poured it on Jesus. She is someone who gets the mercy that it was extended to him, to her. She gets it. Jesus goes on to say, for this reason I say to you, her sins which are many have been forgiven, for she loved much, but he who is forgiven little loves little. We have been forgiven much. And that mercy should extend in our actions. And one of the Beatitudes, blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. It makes it sound like if I show mercy, then God is merciful to me. It's almost like putting God in our debt. I do this, well, then God has to do that. God is never in our debt, ever. Okay, but it's really flipped. It's more of a result. If we have received mercy, we shall be merciful. If we have received mercy, we shall be merciful. It's a fruit. It's a fruit of it. It's a result of the mercy that is shown to us and should be. I didn't do a PowerPoint. I know there's been a lot of PowerPoints lately. Daylight savings time took care of that. But I do have a little clip, and I'll end it with this clip. This is from a movie from the 80s called The Mission. It's with Robert De Niro and Jeremy Irons. And it's these Jesuit priests who are down in South America and they're planning these missions. Robert De Niro's character is a slave trader. He was one of the bad guys at the beginning. He's capturing these members of this tribe, selling them into slave and killing them. He's well known. His name is well known in this area. And then he goes through something, ends up killing his own brother, and he realizes the wretch that he is for the most part. And then they have this penance thing where he has to carry this net filled with like armor and things, and that's going to be his penance. And he owns it. He refuses to cut it off. He's dragging through the jungle as they're going up to their mission to this tribe. He's carrying this bow or net filled with armor, and he's got to climb rocks. At one point, one of the other priests says, enough, and he chops it off. Robert De Niro's character goes down, he picks it up, says no, takes it, and he carries it all the way up. So just setting it up, you see what forgiveness is, of how we should respond to the mercy that has been shown in us, to us. So they had every right to kill him right there. This was their enemy. And I think it had to be them cutting it off, the burden, watching it fall. And then we see the mercy that is extended to him from them, from that very tribe that he had put into slavery and killed so many. So we have been forgiven much. The Lord has extended mercy to each one of us. Everyone in this room has that in common. We all have that in common, that we have all been recipients of God's mercy. Help us to remember that each day and extend it to others. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your faithfulness. God, help us to remember how much you have forgiven us. Lord, it's impossible for us to know it. We will see it one day. But we know, Lord, that we stand here all because of what you have done. We are in this room because of your mercy. Lord, we have our life because of your mercy. Lord, we have our salvation because of your mercy. Lord, we thank you for your mercy. God, help us to remember this and to be quick to forgive, to be quick to extend the same mercy that we have been given. In your name, amen.